I love you always forever. Romans chapter 8. Well, I hope you're learning a lot from our study of Romans. I know I am. And I know I say this frequently, but it bears repeating. What Dan or I or any other preacher offers you for 20 minutes at a clip is just a scratch at the surface. All of these concepts go so much deeper and wider than we have time for during our sermon time each week. It's just that this pocket of time is about all our minds can handle. I can't preach for an hour, and you can't listen for an hour. But all of this stuff, we could spend weeks on each chapter. And Romans chapter 8 is especially loaded with truths that are bigger than we can grapple with. So I'm going to start today with the image of an iceberg. Are you familiar with what they say about icebergs? That only about 10% of the structure is visible above water, and 90% is hidden below the surface. Well, that's this sermon on Romans 8. I'm going to take a stab at it, and I'm going to try to deliver at least 10% to you. Just understand that there's a whole lot more in this chapter than we're going to even approach today. So I'm giving a big disclaimer. This is in no way a definitive message on Romans 8. There's so much more. And as always, I encourage you to read and to study for yourself. Hopefully you're listening to these with your Bible open, unless you're driving, and then please be safe. But please read these chapters for yourself and see what you can learn through that exercise. Well, now that I took up time to say all of that, let's get started. First, I want to define three related terms that are born out of the book of Romans. And these are really sort of uniquely Christian terms. And they look intimidating, they're big, but they're super important for us to know. So the first word is justification. Justification. We are justified. We receive justification at the moment when we trust Jesus to make us right with God. At the moment of salvation, you are justified. God declares you righteous because of your faith, just as he did with Abram. Justified means you're put right, acquitted before God, and your record is cleared. I've heard it said this way, that being justified makes it just as if I'd never sinned. So that's how you can remember that. The next word is sanctification. We are sanctified or made holy by an ongoing process that involves our surrender and God's work in us. This is growing in spiritual maturity. This is the Holy Spirit growing fruit in us. This is us looking less like the world and more like Christ, wanting more of what he wants and giving up more of the things the world craves. Sanctification begins when you come to Christ, but its work continues until your life on earth is done. Finally, there's glorification. We will be glorified one day in the future when God will remove every last trace of fallen humanity from us so we can stand before him complete and perfect. Glorification is a promised future event and something to look forward to, absolutely. It will be the final death blow to sin and the crowning moment of faith. So, you and I, if we are in Christ, if we are trusting God to set us right through faith in Jesus, if we are surrendering to him and asking him to grow his good fruit in us, then we have already been justified and we are working through the process of sanctification, and we are looking forward to glorification. So if you feel that pull and that tension and that struggle between what you know is right and what you're tempted to do instead, that's good. That's actually a good thing. That means it's working. Sanctification is happening. So continue to listen and obey. The great thing about this is we are not bound by a code of law, a set of rules. Rather, we are free to do what's right, free to listen to God's Spirit guiding us and teaching us. 2 weeks ago, when we looked at Romans 6, we talked a lot about freedom, and we're going to do that again today, but we're going to frame it differently. Romans 8 goes deeper into the freedom we have in Christ. And as we look at these ideas, I want you to consider the fact that there are two sides to every freedom coin. Picture a coin, two sides. With freedom, we have from and for. You can have freedom from a lot of things. Let's use addiction as an example because it's easy. If you've ever dealt with an addiction, and I do believe everybody is an addict to something, but if you've ever dealt with an addiction, whether it's nicotine, gambling, alcohol, drugs, pain pills, pornography, some kind of eating disorder, shopping, work, video games, exercise, social media, addiction to another person, or any other life-controlling compulsion. If you've ever battled against an addiction, then you know the kind of hold it can have on you. Just One More could be the title of that book. It's no big deal, is what you tell other people. But you know that pull inside of you, and you know the hopelessness of feeling like you're going to give in again. I know I can't give it up, even though it's destroying me, so why bother trying? You know what it's like to say, I'm not going to do that anymore, even though you know it's a lie. And most truly addicted people, all they want is to break free. You know, alcoholics don't really want to drink. It's just what they do. At the point where the activity isn't fun anymore, but it doesn't matter because you can't stop, that's when you know you have a serious problem. But if a person who's addicted can manage to break free of it and get far enough away from it that the old pull isn't there like it used to be, there is nothing like that feeling of freedom. To break free of the vortex that always sucked you down before, and to be able to look back and say, that's what I used to do. That's who I used to be. It's truly an exciting kind of freedom. That's one side of the freedom coin. That's the from side. Freedom from something negative. I don't have that anymore, and it doesn't define me anymore. Now, freedom from the negative is great, but that's only half of freedom. The other side of freedom is freedom for. Now that I've been set free from the negative, what positive things does this give me freedom for? Now that I'm not gambling anymore, what good things can I spend my money and time on? Now that I'm not drinking anymore, what good projects can I do with my sober mind? Now that I'm not overeating and binging on junk anymore, what delicious healthy foods can I try? Now that I'm not spending hours on social media anymore, what real-life social interactions can I have? You get the idea. To be free from the negative is awesome, but to be free for the positive is even better. And this isn't just a thing with addiction. It's our situation any time we are set free. Let's say you have chronic hip pain. You're going to lament all the things you can't do anymore. But if you have a successful hip replacement and you complete your therapy and you're set free from that pain, then you know that now there are so many more things you can do. It's not just freedom from pain. It's freedom for doing all those things you've been longing to do. Romans 8 outlines 4 negative things that God, in His love, has provided freedom from. And it's amazing. First, we're told that there is now no condemnation. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in Jesus, we have freedom from judgment. We are set free from condemnation under the law that so easily accuses us. Under the law, we are guilty and condemned. Even good people fall short of the glory of God and stand guilty and condemned. But in trusting Jesus, who fulfilled the law, we are justified, acquitted, and set free from judgment. But on the other side of that coin, we are set free for approval and adoption. Not only are we declared not guilty, but we are given a place of honor in God's kingdom. We are named co-heirs with Jesus. We are given the opportunity to call His Father our Father. Not only does the righteous judge bring down the gavel and say you're innocent, but He allows you to call Him Dad. He lets you leave the courtroom as His dearly loved child. That's bonkers. And that's the best news you'll ever hear. The second freedom we find in Romans 8 is freedom from defeat. Do you ever feel defeated? I'm sure. Only every morning for me. I get it. But here's the thing. God says, you no longer have to be pulled down by defeat because I'm giving you my Spirit. On our own, we cannot please God. I can't, you can't, not one of us can be good enough to get it right and to please Him. So He made a way. Stop trying to do it on your own, God says, and let me come in and do it for you. Living on my own power, trying to be good on my own power, is exhausting. And it's impossible anyway. I'm going to fail. I'll be defeated again and again. But when I stop living for myself, by myself, and I allow God to live in me, and I let His Spirit guide me and show me what's up, I cannot be defeated. Doesn't mean I'll be perfect. Remember, we are still living through the process of sanctification. But it means I won't completely burn out and blow up. In this case, surrender doesn't equal defeat. Surrender to Christ means victory. God not only offers freedom from defeat, He offers freedom for victory, success, triumph. Verses 12 and 13 tell us that we have no obligation to give in to our sinful urges. We don't owe sin anything. And if we allow the power of God's Spirit to work in us and kill the sinful nature, we will find life. We will be free to win. Romans 8 also talks about freedom from discouragement. I know you get discouraged sometimes. It literally means to be deprived of courage, hope, or confidence, to have that taken away. And God says, I want to free you from discouragement. Not only that, but I want to give you encouragement. I want to courage you, God says. Paul says, listen, the whole world has been groaning since Adam and Eve fell dead in that garden. It's not just you. All of creation sighs deeply with expectation of renewal. The whole earth is longing for God to restore all things and make it new again. Everything groans under the weight of sin and death. And you've felt that. I know you have. But he says, but freedom is coming. There is hope. Hold on and look forward to it, because God is going to reveal all of this when the time is right. There is wonderful joy ahead. Paul says, look, the suffering you endure now is not even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. So take courage and have hope. God is freeing you from discouragement so you can have this eager expectation. God is busy working out His will for good. Even if you can't always see it, He's working. Romans 8:28 is one of the most helpful and hopeful verses in Scripture. It says, we know that God is working all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, this doesn't mean that God just zaps your life perfect if you love Him, but it does mean that He is working for your good. And even on hard days, He's working. Even in disappointment and diagnoses, He's working. Just hold on to hope. Be patient. He's here. The fourth freedom we find here is freedom from fear. Let me ask you this. What could you accomplish in your life if you had no fear? Or, to put it another way, what would you have accomplished in your life so far if you had not allowed fear to stop you? Fear is one of the most basic feelings we have, and sometimes it's good. It teaches us not to run up to hug a grizzly bear. But a lot of bad things come out of fear if we let it take over. Nearly every negative emotion is rooted in fear. Did you know that? Anger comes from fear. Envy comes from fear. Violence comes from fear. Anytime you feel inferior, anxious, paralyzed, overwhelmed, rejected, threatened, exposed, guilty, inadequate, offended, embarrassed, or frustrated, fear is likely a strong component of that. And here, God says, you don't have to fall into fear. You're free. We are set free from fear so we can be free for so many great things. Love, joy, peace, and all the rest. Here's an example of this principle. Let's say you fear being poor. You're terrified to be poor. Maybe you grew up without a whole lot of money and you're desperately afraid to fall there again. You want to always have plenty of money. And you have a deep fear of never having enough. So what does that fear do to you? Well, first of all, it doesn't allow you to trust God to meet your needs. If you're always worried about money, then you're never trusting God to provide. so you'll never know the peace that he offers. And if you hold on to that fear of never having enough, then guess what? You'll never have enough. You will never feel like you have enough. You'll have your house paid off, your bills covered, food on your table, your retirement all set up, and you won't be able to enjoy any of it because it will never be enough for you. Our fears can really mess with our perceptions of reality. Our fears can rob us of contentment and joy. And fear can even keep us from experiencing love. I want you to hear what God is saying to us in Romans chapter 8. God says, relax. I didn't set you free so you could be afraid all the time. I didn't rescue you and adopt you so you could be a slave to fear. Look at me. Trust in me and don't be afraid. He says, look, I'm for you. I'm for you. And if I'm for you, who could possibly be against you? And even if someone is against you, who cares? What could it possibly matter if I am for you? If I didn't spare my own son, if I gave him up for you, how could you possibly doubt my love for you? I've given you everything, and I'm going to keep on giving you everything. If I don't condemn you, who else could? And by the way, Jesus is right here at the throne of heaven, praying for you day and night. Christ is interceding for you as we speak. Could anything separate you from his love? From my love? No. If you're in trouble, I love you. If you're struggling, I love you. If you're persecuted, I love you. If you're hungry or naked or homeless, I love you. If you're destitute or in danger or threatened with death in this life, I love you. You already have my fullest expression of love, and on top of that, nothing can ever take that away from you. Nothing. Death can't stop my love. Life can't stop my love. Angels can't stop my love. Demons can't stop my love. People in positions of power can't stop my love. Nothing in the present can stop my love. Nothing in the future can stop my love. Do you get it yet? Well, hey, height can't stop my love. Depth can't stop my love. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough. No conceived of or created thing in all the universe can separate you from my love, which I've expressed fully in Christ Jesus, your Lord. I don't know about you, but I think I need to tattoo this all over my body so it won't wash off, so I won't forget. Freedom from fear means freedom for love. And God so wants you to know his love, not only to receive it, but to share it. To know the rush of pure love freely given to another person, whether it's deserved or not. It's his biggest dream for us. Church, if you are in Christ, you are truly free. Understand that. Live into that. Stop picking up the old yokes of slavery. Shed those shackles and step into the glorious freedom Christ has bought for you. Let him heal you. Let him work in you. Leave behind judgment, defeat, discouragement, and fear. and let God accept you, give you victory, encourage you, and love you. Leave the flesh behind and walk free in the Spirit of God. Amen.